Is refugee resettlement a Christian responsibility or a threat to America? One expert speaks her mind.
You see, my 9/11 happened to me in Lebanon in 1975 when radical Islamists blew up my home, bringing it down as they shouted Allahu Akbar. I ended up in a hospital for 2.5 months and later ended up living in a bomb shelter 6 feet underground in an 8x10 room without electricity and no water and very little food. And that's where I lived for 7 years of my life, from the age of 10 till the age of 17, robbed of my youth. So I understand what happens when people turn a blind eye to evil, thinking, it's not going to happen to me. It's all the way over there. Let them all kill each other. Well, over there is no longer contained over there. It's over here. And we must protect America.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Jan meets this hour with the founder of Act for America. Brigitte Gabriel is a Lebanese-American, conservative author, and activist. She's an outspoken critic of immigration policies that allow for unvetted refugees coming into America. Brigitte has written a new book titled Rise, in defense of Judeo-Christian values and freedom. This title will be the backdrop for Jan's conversation with Brigitte Gabriel. You will not find her latest release in our bookstore. To order your copy, log on to Amazon.com. Let's get started with today's conversation. Here is Jan Markell.
Welcome to the program. You know, we look at news, views, truths from a decidedly biblical perspective. And I have a new book in hand, and it's from a voice I think most of you know by now, Brigitte Gabriel. And if you've followed Understanding the Times Radio, you know I've talked on air with Brigitte for many years, over 12 years. And the book is titled Rise, in defense of Judeo-Christian values and freedom. And for those of you who love freedom, who love our country, honestly, you need to read this. And I'm just going to read two paragraphs from the book. And she says on page 10, she says, this is under the category of freedom and security are not political issues. They are American issues. She says, I'm talking about the real heart of America, not the out-of-touch D.C. swamp. I'm talking about the people like you and me who wake up every morning, work hard, and just want to come home safely to a country that affords them the freedom to live as they please. I'm talking about people who still believe that America is the greatest country on earth. I'm talking about those who don't want their neighborhoods transformed into Islamic no-go zones, as many in Europe have been. I'm talking about those who want to go to the mall without wondering whether they're in America or Saudi Arabia. Brigitte says, my friends, freedom and security are not political issues. They are American issues. Remember, we all are marked for death in the eyes of our enemies. So let us cast off the shackles of division holding us back and call out those pushing these destructive distractions when we see them. And then she concludes, or I'll stop here. America is the greatest country on earth and worthy of both our highest respect and protection. Let the anti-American haters say what they will. But as for you and me and the millions of patriots who realize how blessed we are to have been handed the lottery winning tickets of American citizenship and residence, we know what we're thankful for and what we're fighting for. Okay, we'll talk about that, and I'm so pleased to welcome back Brigitte Gabriel. Brigitte, welcome.
Thank you, Jen, and I'm so glad to be back with you.
Well, listen, you know, I got a lot of notes here. I've got a personal interest in your work, your story, into that as we move into the interview. But you say this, Brigitte, you say that of every American taxpayer has spent over $23,000 since 2001. We have spent trillions of dollars on Mideast wars to fight terror. You say the TSA has a 95% failure rate, and you say we are no safer than we were before 9/11. Now, those are gloomy statistics. So why this kind of failure rate? Why?
Because we have not been able, Jan, to basically name our enemy and identify it in order for us to come up with a strategy that will win the war. Instead of calling our enemy by its name, radical Islamic terrorism, and going to the Middle East and killing our radical Islamic enemy, we spent our money going there, building highways in Afghanistan, mm-hmm. building schools in Iraq, spending millions and trillions of dollars winning hearts and minds that got us diddly squat, as they say in Texas. Here we are 18 years later. Here we are 17 years after 9/11. Do the people in Afghanistan love us more? Of course not. Did we win hearts and minds in Iraq? Of course not. Did the people in Pakistan have a better idea of United States of America? Of course not. So we spent all these trillions of dollars. By the way, by the end of 2018, the cost of this war on terror since 9/11 would be $5.6 trillion. Mm-hmm. $5.6 trillion. And let me simplify it to people. $1 trillion is 1,000 times 1 billion.
That's right.
You know, we throw these numbers around and people have no idea how big these numbers are. And some people say, well, you know, we're fighting, you know, it doesn't really affect me. And thank you for bringing the example of how much it costs every individual. So for everyone listening right now, this war on terror since 9/11 has cost each one of you with a $23,000 and some change, almost $24,000. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are a family of four, if you are married and you have two children, that is almost $100,000. If you would have taken that money and put it in an investment account, really safe investment account, S&P 500 index, earning a regular conservative 8% return on your money with the compounded interest, you would have in 20 years, you would have by now almost $500,000. How would you like to have $500,000 in your bank account right now? That's why it's important for every American to understand why this war affects them and why we all need to rise together in defense of our country, in defense of sensible policies that will keep us safe, and also in defense of stopping the squandering of our children and grandchildren's money, but putting debt around our neck that we're going to pass on to our children while we are no more advancing our cause than doing anything else. We must stop it, and we must identify the enemy and fight our enemy.
Okay, well, we have a president who's trying to limit immigration and particularly limit it from dangerous locations, which is refreshing. But most immigrants, I'm getting 99.9% of my comments and information from your book. So most are being picked by the UN High Commissioner for Refugees or are relatives of refugees selected by the United Nations, which is a really dumb idea. Outsource this essential job to a kind of a useless globalist agency called the United Nations, and serving on the UN Council for this are countries like Saudi Arabia. But again, millions have come from dangerous countries since 9/11. President Trump trying to stop that, he just gets the pushback.
Right. And President Trump is basically trying to stop all this insanity and sometimes enforcing the laws on the book. Look, we live in a different world right now, and we must protect who is coming into the country and what they're doing in the country. And the whole immigration process in general, Jan, in my book, I have two chapters, one strictly about immigration and one chapter titled Replacement Civilization. If anybody's listening to us right now in Detroit or Minneapolis, Minnesota, they know exactly what I'm talking about. Especially when we look at Europe and see all the people that are coming into Europe. And I'm going to give you an example as to how we got here. Immigration has so many levels. You have the refugee resettlement. You have the visa lottery. You have the chain migration.
Yep.
You have, you know, all different types. But I'll start with the basics of when we made the switch. Foreign-born population, it all started changing in 1965 when we passed the law which changed how people come into the country. So instead of coming on merits and based on their qualifications, they started coming because of their relationship with an American citizen, family relationships. Now, since then, between 1965 and 2015, we have quadrupled the number of people who are coming in to 45 million. According to Pew Research, immigrants and their descendants accounted for 72 million in population growth between 1965 and 2015. Now, think about that number. We are a nation of 300 million. 72 million in population growth accounted for people coming under the chain migration. Now, this becomes very important because since 1995, when we changed the act, we started bringing a lot of people from the Middle East and North Africa who have big families, who have 10 children.
That's right.
Are very different than the Europeans that we started bringing in.
Right.
And also, they don't share our values.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. You may hear a pretty passionate voice here on your radio. That's the voice of Brigitte Gabrielle. You can learn a lot more at actforamerica.org, actforamerica.org, because I have in front of me her newest book, Rise in Defense of Judeo-Christian Values and Freedom. And Brigitte, I don't want to leave what you're talking about right now. As a matter of fact, let me just go down a similar path, the vetting of these people, because we keep hearing, at least from the left, we hear, well, these people are all vetted. Give me your perspective on the vetting. You talk about it in this book.
Actually, before we get to the vetting, I would like to finish a statement
about
the immigrants we are bringing, if I may. Remember how I told you we have brought in 72 million people in population growth between 1965 and 2015? According to Pew Research, if this trend continues, immigrants and their descendants are projected to account for 88% of the U.S. population growth in 2065. In other words, America, the America we live in today, will be unrecognizable by 2065. Unrecognizable. 88% of our population growth is going to be people from the Middle East and North Africa. So if you are concerned about those who are coming into the country and who they are, which leads me to the unvetting process and all the supposedly Syrian refugees we are bringing, President Trump has a legitimate reason, as well as many in the intelligence community, to be concerned about those we are bringing into the country, the unvetted refugees that we cannot verify where they are from. I have friends who are journalists, and they were in Europe interviewing people in the refugee camps, supposedly Syrian refugees, and they would ask them, where are you from in Syria? And some people couldn't even identify a city, and some people would say Damascus. Obviously, everybody knows Damascus is the capital of Syria. And they would tell them, great, what neighborhood? Not one person could name you a neighborhood.
Interesting. Interesting.
So, exactly. So, first of all, they were speaking broken Arabic. There is no way somebody born and raised in Damascus or in Syria cannot speak fluent Arabic. And then when they cannot even identify a neighborhood in the city, I mean, it doesn't matter what city you live in, no matter what area you are from, anywhere in the world, if somebody asks you about your city, you'll be able to identify a neighborhood, or you'll be able to identify key places in that city. Yet these refugees were not even able to identify that, which means they are not from Syria to start with, which means these are opportunists all over the Middle East and North Africa who knew that if you can make it to a refugee camp in Europe, a UN camp, you'll have a pretty good chance of being transferred either to Australia, Canada, or the United States.
All right. So, but then are you saying the vetting process is ineffective then? I mean, we keep hearing that they are vetted. I have doubted that all along.
No, they are not vetted. And I go into that in detail my book, Rise, because I'll give you a perfect example about Syria. So usually, supposedly, we hear from the intelligence community, you know, those talking pundits that come on television, they say, oh, we've got a vetting process in place. Well, the original vetting process to scrutinize refugees coming to America was supposed to be 2 to 3 years. Well, because of the refugee crisis in Syria, a lot of Syrians ran into Jordan. So Obama, who wanted to speed up bringing Syrian refugees into the United States, instead of going through the proper channel and vetting refugees, he actually sent people to Jordan to screen the refugees in 2.5 months. And it was Jordanian screeners, because we set up bases to screen up these people. Well, the Jordanians have a vested interest in shipping them somewhere out of Jordan. So basically, we had people supposedly vetting refugees within a 2 month period for a process that was supposed to take 2 to 3 years, and somebody who has a vested interest in getting them out of the country. And so this is what the Democrats, when they talk about, oh, well, we have a vetting process in place, this is the vetting process they're talking about. Plus, we're taking people at their word. These people have no passports, have no identity. You know, it's amazing how all of a sudden they have no record of their passports and their ID, but somehow they were able to keep their cell phone in their hands. You know, it's just amazing.
You talk about, I mean, the transformation of, you know, parts of America. Let me talk just for a minute here about the transformation of my neck of the woods, which happens to be, I headquarter, folks, as most of you know, out of Minnesota, out of Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota. And here's what I observe after years, particularly the last 20 years, because I live in one of the areas that's called Little Mogadishu. We have many, about about 100,000 Somalis at least. I promise you, my listening audience, that a little Mogadishu is coming to vast numbers of your neighborhoods across America. And many of these immigrants come to smaller towns, not necessarily all of them, but some go to the smaller towns. There's meatpacking industries there. They take some of the lower wage positions. They transform Minnesota towns. They also make those towns, I have to tell you, very dangerous. Now, I'm being very politically incorrect, but we have churches here being turned into mosques. We have good people here in Minnesota being harassed who are minding their own business. They're being harassed. Their dogs are being harassed. In Minneapolis, we had a Somali become a Minneapolis policeman, shot and killed an innocent woman while he was on duty. I'm probably going to hear from CARE, but I don't care about CARE. I care about the truth. Minnesota has a huge problem. Thanks to the left's love for diversity, multiculturalism, and tolerance. And I have watched the fundamental transformation of a beautiful state, a state that is electing Muslims to high office. And if they love America, I have no problem with that. I question how much they love America. Our Mall of America is not safe. And there was a terrorist attack perpetrated by a Somali at a mall in St. Cloud, Minnesota, just a couple of years ago. So this is my own personal perspective, having lived here all my life, seeing the transformation, the fundamental transformation of a beautiful state. And Brigitte documents all of that in her new book, Rise. So, Brigitte, there's going to be certain parts of the country that are going to be very indebted for the fact that you're finally speaking up for all of us.
Well, we have to, because we are losing our country before our very eyes. We are importing people into our country who do not share our values,
right,
who do not respect our Constitution, who are coming here because the word is out, get over here, and once you get here, you'll be able to be taken care of. Yeah, I talk about little Mogadishu, and you know, you live in the lion's den, Jen. You understand, you see, and all the wonderful people of Minnesota who are watching their whole state, their whole areas completely transformed because of the refugee influx. But here's the problem. Even though Somalis are brought and resettled in other areas of the country, what they're doing is they're connecting with each other and they're migrating to Minnesota to create their own enclave in Minnesota in Little Mogadishu because their friends are up there. They want to be around their friends. They do not want to assimilate. So all of a sudden, they all migrate, no matter where they were resettled, whether they're resettled in Florida, whether they're resettled in California, somehow they make up their ways and they end up in Little Mogadishu building their own enclave. And this is not to mention the diseases they are bringing with them.
Yeah.
Now, we know the impact of people who do not share our culture, who are bringing different set of values into our country. But what most Americans don't realize is the diseases that these refugees and these people are importing into the country. To give you an idea, we have seen a surge in dangerous diseases such as dengue fever, leprosy, malaria, HIV/AIDS, tuberculosis, rubella, syphilis, typhus, whooping cough, and many others. Measles was up more than 450% between 2014 and 2015. Hepatitis B was up 300% over 3 years. And tuberculosis was up 30%. Tuberculosis is right now exploding nationwide because these people that we are bringing are not tested. So you've got tuberculosis exploding in 16 states. The state of Wisconsin alone has 118 cases of tuberculosis, and most of these cases are drug resistant, which means that it takes $150,000 to $180,000 to treat one patient, and it takes 6 to 8 months to treat them. These are some major numbers.
Yep.
The four most populous states in America who are infected, who have the most cases of tuberculosis, are California, Florida, New York, and Texas. They accounted for more than half of the tuberculosis cases for the entire country, with more than 500 cases each. People need to understand what we are bringing into the country and why we need to rise in defense of our communities that are being transformed before our very eyes.
I want to comment on that, and I need to take my first break. When I come back, I want to make a personal comment about just what you've said. Everything you said was in my notes. I was going to go there because I think it's so important that we bring this out. I mean, mean, it's one thing to fear terrorist attacks and malls and things like that, but we can be innocently sitting on a bus, and here we catch one of these horrific diseases that we think we've gotten rid of here in America. So this is a serious, serious issue, folks. I want to build upon what she said. I'm coming back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
We had a wonderful conference experience last Saturday with almost 5,000 people in attendance at Understanding the Times 2018. CDs and DVDs will be available about November 1. Attendees came this year from 55 states, Canadian provinces, and foreign countries. We're taking your orders now if you'd like audio or video copies of our latest conference. For ordering information, visit olivetreeviews.org or phone Olive Tree Ministries at 763-559-4444. Please remember, this ministry depends on our listeners for financial support. Without your help, we wouldn't be able to bring this program to the nation. You can help us maintain this critical outreach by sending a tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Almost 5,000 people gathered from around the world on Saturday, September 29th, to be encouraged and to learn to become watchmen on the wall. We will be ready to ship CDs and DVDs of this event around November 1st. Our speakers included Amir Sarfati.
I believe 1948 was a great sound of the trumpet. 1967 was a great sound of the trumpet. If I may say, 2018 was a great sound of trumpet as well. All I'm waiting for is the last trumpet.
Pastor Billy Crone.
Maybe it's going to be Watson who's going to help the Antichrist control the buying and selling. It's not far-fetched, folks, when you take a look at the technology.
Pastor J.D. Farag.
I believe the rapture can happen at any time because of the current situation in Syria, specifically concerning Damascus.
Eric Barger.
They are a surveillance society beyond all others, and I remember whispering about this to myself and then saying it to you and others. This is made for the Antichrist.
Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Jesus Christ is coming back in judgment in his second coming. The rapture, he receives us in the atmosphere to himself to take us where he's been.
Order in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can also call us at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. They will be offered in our print and e-newsletters. Sign up online. You can mail in your order as well. We live in unprecedented times. Headlines are a herald of his coming. These messages will encourage you to see that nothing is falling apart. Things are all falling together. Order today and don't be left behind.
And what's so concerning right now is now we're seeing a coalition of the leftists and the Islamists coming together against America and coordinating. So on one side, you know, a few years ago, we'd be worried about the suicide bomber walking into a room like this and blowing us all up to smithereens. But what's happening right now, we're worried also just as much about Antifa and the left and people who hate cops and want to kill cops. We cannot lose law and order in this country. And that's exactly why I wrote Rise. Rise in defense of Judeo-Christian values and freedom. And we need to come together as a nation, throw political correctness in the garbage, and especially Christians and people who love this country need to come together and stand up in defense of America.
Jan's guest this hour is ACT for America founder Brigitte Gabriel. Let's go back to their conversation.
Welcome back. I'm spending these segments with the familiar voice of Brigitte Gabriel. You see her on a lot of media outlets and hear her, and lately you're hearing her even on a number of Christian radio programs because of her new book, Rise, in Defense of Judeo-Christian Values and Freedom. And she's got an incredible personal story herself. And as we were exiting that first segment, I told her I wanted to build just a little bit on what she had been talking about. And she was talking about, you know, we've got gotten rid of lots of diseases here over time, and they're coming back into the country. And folks, I wrote a book some years ago. It was published by Bethany House, titled Gone the Golden Dream. It's a true story about Russian immigrants back at the turn of the previous century. And when they came through Ellis Island, I just want you to know that if one of the members of the family was ill, very often that, even if it was a child, even if it was a little child, was sent back to their home country because we would not allow the diseases into America. Now, that's 100 years ago. I get that. But the contrast between 100 years ago and today, and Brigitte just outlined some of the serious issues going on health-wise. By the way, the book today is titled Sons from Afar, and it is in our bookstore. Go ahead, Brigitte.
What I wanted to mention is that wasn't just that far ago, testing for diseases. When I came into the United States, I came to America in 1989 when I immigrated here. I had to take a test. I had the luxury of paying for my own airline ticket to get here as a legal immigrant, paying for my lawyers to do my paperwork, paying for my doctor's visits where I had to be tested for every disease under the sun. And I hate needles, but I had to go. Yeah. I cannot tell you how many blood tests I had to take and this test and that test to make sure I'm not bringing communicable diseases to the country. And I had to study a 3-inch thick book by the Daughters of the American Revolution about America's history, America's Constitution, our judiciary system, etc., and pass a written exam as well as a verbal exam in English about America's history and pass before I became an American. I knew more about America's history than my American-born husband did as a legal immigrant. Now, this was required 30 years ago. 30 years ago. Look how far we have changed in 30 years.
That's right.
We're not talking ancient history. We're talking 30 years. And you talked about the diseases. We talked earlier about the diseases they are bringing. But I'm going to mention a little example about tuberculosis and how it's spreading. In 2015, 27 students tested positive for tuberculosis at one high school in Kansas City, Kansas alone. So because the principal and the teachers cannot notify parents that there is a case because they have to protect the identity of the child that has tuberculosis. Meanwhile, that child stays at the school infecting others for months before the parents of others' children are notified, which is crazy. The other thing I want to talk about also, speaking of lowering our standards to accommodate people from third world countries who don't share our standards, in my book Rise, in the chapter about immigration, I talk about how the city of Denver in May 2017 introduced an ordinance that allowed people to defecate on the street. Mm-hmm. Yes, you heard it correctly. Yeah. Defecation now is no longer a crime in Denver. Why? Because they have a huge refugee and illegal immigrant population, and because they do not want these people deported because defecation on the street is a reportable crime, the city of Denver decided, well, you know what? We love these people, these third world people coming into our city, so they can drop their pants and just do it on the side of the road. It's not a big deal. It's more important to keep them here and lower our standards than get them deported and maintain the American standard. And the city of Denver has a bigger problem than San Francisco and Philadelphia. Is this really what we want to see nationwide happening, lowering our standards because we want to accommodate people coming from third world countries who are refusing to assimilate? See, I don't mind people coming in as long as they assimilate, but they're not assimilating.
Exactly, and that's what here in Minnesota, what we all observe. And again, there would be legions of people joining in on this conversation if they had the opportunity, Brigitte, Minnesota people, because that's what we get frustrated with, is there's zero assimilation, zero, zero. There's no assimilation whatsoever. So that is the frustrating thing. But I just read a headline recently that Donald Trump is slashing refugee admissions for fiscal year 2019 to a record low. 45,000 was in 2018. It's going to be lower than that, if I'm looking at the stats right, for 2019. He's trying to lower some of the stats for these refugees.
Yes, he did actually announce today that the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, announced that the Trump administration will admit no more than 30,000 refugees
that's
the
figure.
Coming year.
Yes.
Right, that's the figure. The current cap is 45,000 and was 110,000 when the president took office. I mean, the hawkish turn shows how President Donald Trump, his willingness to push hardline immigration policies in the run-up to the November midterm election. And good for him.
Yeah.
He is not budging. And that's exactly why people elected him. This is exactly,
yes, exactly
why people love this president. Throw political correctness in the garbage and do what is right,
yeah,
for America, by America, for Americans. This is exactly why we need to go and vote. I hope that every single one listening right now, I know you're going to be praying for our country leading up to the midterm election, but I hope and pray that you're going to go out and vote, because we need you to vote. I wrote Rise, my book Rise, and I titled it Rise, and I timed it to come out before the midterm election for a reason, because we in our side of the aisle, Jan, we are informed. People understand the problem. People who are listening to you right now, Jan, tune in and listen to you every week because they want to hear from experts. They know, they want to hear your input. They are more educated than 95% of Americans, but they do not know what to do with the problem. People
right.
say, my
they
God,
don't.
I know the information. I don't know what to do. So what I do with my book, Rise, I not only lay out the problem in every chapter, whether I'm talking about the death of free speech, whether I'm talking about Operation Indoctrination, what's happening in our public schools, whether I'm talking about immigration. At the end of every chapter, I have a section titled Rise Up and Act, where I give people tips and ideas and things they can do to make a difference for the country. Three things you can do under 10 minutes. You can do them while sipping your cup of coffee in the morning in your pajamas sitting in front of your computer.
That's right.
That's why I urge everyone listening right now to get my book Rise, read it, not only understand what to pray about, but also what you can do about it and how you can make a difference for the country. And I encourage you to read it, and I encourage you to buy multiple copies and donate a copy to every library in your community. Make that be your task. Make that be your mission. Give a book to every library in your community so we can educate those who are looking for information, who may not be listening to this broadcast, but go to the library to read information about problems. Let's put the book in their hand and let's get them mobilized and educated.
Now, here's a few places you can get the book, folks. You can find it at Amazon.com. You can find it at almost any local bookstore. We're not carrying it at this time because we're carrying very few products anymore, but Amazon and your local bookstore, you can find it. Visit actforamerica.org. And Brigitte's right. In every chapter, she gives you some pointers that you can actually act, because it's one thing to spell out a problem, which we are. We're spelling out a problem, this program, and it's huge. It's overwhelming. But there are things you can do. The book is endorsed by people, including Judge Jeanine Pirro, Dinesh D'Souza, Colonel Alan West. There's so many. Michelle Malkin. All sorts of people have endorsed this book because it offers some answers to some of the dilemmas. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell here, Brigitte Gabriel, author of the book, on the phone with me. And Brigitte, I want to play a quick soundbite. It's of you. It's frankly, it's a soundbite that's gone quite viral. You probably even know which one I'm talking about. The reason I'm playing it is because in this little clip, 3 minutes, you're going to be talking about, see, because one of the things you address in the book is, all right, people are coming at you, and aren't the majority of these people really peaceful people? And why do we have to worry about such a tiny minority of Muslims who might do some dangerous things? And you're addressing that in this little clip here.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace to you all. My name is Saba Ahmed. I'm a law student at American University. I am here to ask you a simple question. I know that we portray Islam and all Muslims as bad, but there's 1.8 billion Muslim followers of Islam. We have 8 million plus Muslim Americans in this country, and I don't see them represented here. But my question is, how can we fight an ideological war with weapons? How can we ever end this war? The jihadist ideology that you talk about, it's an ideology. How can you ever win this thing if you don't address it ideologically?
Great question. I am so glad you're here, and I am so glad you brought that up because it gives us an opportunity to answer. What I find so amazing is, since the beginning of this panel, which we are here about Benghazi attack against our people, not one person mentioned Muslims. We are here against Islam, or we're launching war against Muslims. We are here to discuss how 4 Americans died and what our government is doing. We were not here to bash Muslims. You were the one who brought up the issue about most Muslims, not us. And since you brought it up, allow me to elaborate with my answer. There are 1.2 billion Muslims in the world today. Of course not all of them are radicals. The majority of them are peaceful people. The radicals are estimated to be between 15 to 25% according to all intelligence services around the world. That leaves 75% of them peaceful people. But when you look at 15 to 25% of the world Muslim population, you're looking at 180 million to 300 million people dedicated to the destruction of Western civilization. That is as big of the United States. So why should we worry about the radicals, 15 to 25%? Because it is the radicals that kill. Because it is the radicals that behead and massacre. When you look throughout history, when you look at all the lessons of history, most Germans were peaceful. Yet the Nazis drove the agenda. And as a result, 60 million people died. Almost 14 million in concentration camps. 6 million were Jews. The peaceful majority were irrelevant. When you look at Russia, most Russians were peaceful as well. Yet the Russians were able to kill 20 million people. The peaceful majority were irrelevant. When you look at China, for example, most Chinese were peaceful as well. Yet the Chinese were able to kill 70 million people. The peaceful majority were irrelevant. When you look at Japan prior to World War II, most Japanese were peaceful as well. Yet Japan was able to butcher its way across Southeast Asia, killing 12 million people, mostly killed with bayonets and shovels. The peaceful majority were irrelevant. On September 11th in the United States, we had 2.3 million Arab Muslims living in the United States. It took 19 hijackers, 19 radicals to bring America down to its knees, destroy the World Trade Center, attack the Pentagon, and kill almost 3,000 Americans that day. The peaceful majority were irrelevant.
Brigitte, I think that's the concern. For instance, here in Minnesota, with a very sizable number of Somalis and others, and we recognize certainly not all of them are terrorists, of course not, but and we don't know which of these immigrants can be trusted and which ones can't be trusted because a minority can do a tremendous amount of damage.
Exactly, and I'm glad you brought up the people that you have in Minnesota. Now, here you have a small Somali community in Minnesota, and out of that small Somali community, we have 42 people who are terrorists.
That's right.
Who left Minnesota,
right,
and went to fight with the terrorists overseas. Actually, the first American suicide bomber was a Somali from Minnesota who came back to the United States as a dead, blown-up suicide bomber. So when you look at the Somali community in the United States, how small the Somali community is, and when you look at the numbers that have left just from that one locality where they are concentrated, that should send shivers down the spine,
exactly,
of everybody living in Little Mogadishu, also known as Minneapolis, Minnesota. This is why we are concerned. Yes, we do not know who they are, but this is exactly why we need our intelligence agencies to throw political correctness in the garbage. If you're monitoring somebody that you are suspecting they are talking to ISIS or talking to terrorists overseas, you better interview them. You better bring them in. You better do what you have to do to protect the country. Look, we were monitoring Nidal Hassan, the Fort Hood shooter. Why did we have to wait until he killed 13 people in Fort Hood, 13 fellow soldiers, before we said something and the word came out that he was actually communicating with Imam al-Awlaki? Now, if our intelligence agencies knew that, why didn't they take any action? That's exactly what I'm talking about, sensible policies to protect the country. We should demand that our elected officials do the right thing to protect us, the American public. That's the number one job of the government. Mm-hmm. The number one job of the government is to make sure that Americans are safe and secure in our homes. That's the least they can do.
You reference the intelligence community, and in your book, you talk about something so important, and that is years ago, the FBI removed references to jihad, Islamic terrorism, jihadism from the FBI training manuals, and this was under Barack Obama. And you reminded readers in your book that the man in charge of that was Robert Mueller, the fellow running this phony Russian collusion delusion investigation, but that was back a few years ago. But look at the consequences of that.
Exactly, and thank you for bringing that up. It was exactly Mueller who basically purged out all references out of our counterterrorism training manual. Any references to radical Islam, Islamism, jihad, radical jihad, anything, took it out. And you know who Mueller worked with? Mueller worked with CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, and ISNA, Islamic Society of North America, and they had their input and the final say on what should be in the counterterrorism training manual. So Mueller basically worked with a terrorist front organization like CARE, who is a front organization for Hamas in the United States, an unindicted co-conspirator in the largest terrorism financing trial, in basically deciding what our FBI and those within the intelligence community are allowed to do or not to do, or understand or not understand what problem we are dealing with when it comes to terrorists. And so this is exactly why we are thankful right now for President Donald Trump, who are speaking sense into fixing back and undoing all the damage that was done under the Obama administration and the team that was surrounding him, including Mueller, when it comes to training our intelligence community. Look, this is exactly why, because of Mueller's action, this is exactly why we had the Boston Marathon bombers.
That's right.
The Tsarnaev brothers, we knew that they had discussed jihad. The Russians had turned to the FBI.
That's right. They warned us.
A telephone conversation, right, between one of the brothers and the mother discussing jihad. But because our FBI agents were trained that jihad is basically yoga for the soul,
that's right,
according to CARE and Mueller and ISNA and all these people that worked on the counterterrorism manuals, this is why the FBI did not connect the dot and did not prevent a Boston Marathon bombing. And that's how we ended up with that tragedy.
Again, folks, you can find the book on Amazon, your local various bookstores, Barnes & Noble's, a lot of others. You can learn a lot more about Brigitte. It's a fantastic organization. Is, I believe, I want to get this right, Brigitte, because you have the largest national security grassroots organization in America, and that's Act for America. So learn a lot more at actforamerica.org. When I get back, I'm going to wrap this up with Brigitte Gabrielle, but I still got some really cutting-edge questions yet that I haven't gotten to, so we will do that when I get back. What does it mean when way back in 9/11, we heard the term, well, you know what, we lacked the imagination to even perceive something like this could happen. Okay, it's 17 and a half years later. We don't lack that imagination anymore. So what does it mean now today, all these years later, when the national security issues are so important to every single one of us, and when some of our agencies are failing us? I'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
This listener-supported broadcast ministry wants to reach America for Christ. We know the time is short before biblical prophecies about a coming global leader and more darkness takes over our planet. Could you help us spread the word about the importance of watching and praying? Our mission is to inform you about the days in which we live and how you can be ready for our Lord's return. You can help us by giving online at olivetreeviews.org. You can also mail your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Got questions about this ministry? Just call us at 763-559-4444. Videos and audio CDs from our just-completed fall conference will be available to order in just a few short weeks. For details, visit olivetreeviews.org. Brigitte Gabrielle and Jan Markell will return right after this.
This ministry is carrying Amir Sarfati's new book, The Last Hour, An Israeli Insider Looks at the End Times. It is a captivating look at our times from a man who lives in Israel, the land of Bible prophecy. I'm an endorser of this book. Find it in my web store, olivetreeviews.org, or give my office a call, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444, Central Time. It makes a wonderful gift item as well. With the holidays approaching, it is also offered in my print and e-newsletter. Sign up online. The Last Hour will encourage you to look up and know that our redemption draws nigh. He will connect some dots for you as it concerns events of the last days and just may convince you that it is indeed the Last Hour.
America is being transformed before our very eyes. The flag that once flew on every street corner in the United States is now considered a hate symbol on college campuses. Patriotism is seen as hateful. Our police officers are being killed by thugs and criminals, while the mainstream media victimizes their killers. Freedom of speech is being eliminated by the tyranny of intolerance. Christmas is under assault. The very foundation of our nation is under assault. And I speak to a lot of Christians and they say, oh, Brigitte, I'm praying about it. It's not enough to pray. It's important to pray. But Jesus himself was an activist. Jesus stood up against evil.
Now for the conclusion of today's program, here is Jan Markell.
And we're wrapping up a program, interesting indeed, with Brigitte Gabriel. The book is Rise in Defense of Judeo-Christian Values and Freedom. But it's about national security. It's about, are you safe? And if not, why aren't you safe? And what can you do about it? And you actually can do some things. Before I get back in and wrap things up, let me just say this. Remember, this program is posted to my website every Saturday morning, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. And if you want to sign up for the OnePlace.com, OnePlace mobile app. It'll be downloaded to your various devices Saturday morning. Might want to become a CD subscriber and get a CD of every program. And the reason we push that is folks like to hand CDs off to friends who may not be willing to sit in front of a computer to listen to a program, and it might not be airing in their city. They just hand their friends a CD so they can hear info like you're hearing today that you won't hear a lot of places. And sign up for my print and e-newsletter, won't you? Brigitte, I went out of that last segment. I gave a tease. Look, back in 9/11, the excuse was, all right, we lacked imagination. Well, it's 17 years later. We no longer lack imagination. It's time for us to imagine and act and not keep going our foolish ways. I'm not sure I have the faith to believe that's going to happen.
Well, I have to say, if we wake up people enough and in time, we will make it happen. Look, who would have thought President Trump is going to get elected? Yeah. The left assumed Hillary is going to get elected. But because America rose up, America woke up, America decided enough is enough. So you saw a wave of patriotic American people that bleed red, white, and blue, who went to the polls and said, we're going to elect somebody who's going to put this country first. We can turn the tide around. I'm proud to tell you that my organization, Act for America, I mean, and you've known me, Jen, you and I have been together giving interviews, my goodness, for almost 15 years.
Yeah.
Act, so you've watched my organization grow. I'm proud to tell you that today we are over 1 million members. We have passed 100 bills on the federal level as well as the state level to protect America. And we named the organization Act for America. Not think about America, not pray for America. America, not hope for America. You can do all that, but without taking action, nothing happens. Act for America. So I encourage people to go to our website, actforamerica.org. Sign up to get our emails. Sign up to become an activist. Sign up to become a chapter leader or join the chapter in your community. I know you're listening to us nationwide right now. If we come together as one united front, we can take back our country. We can turn the ship around. We can save America. That's exactly why I wrote my book, Rise, and I titled it Rise. Rise together in defense of our country like our founding fathers rose and defeated and won against the British Empire. We put a man on the moon. We defeated communism. We defeated Nazism. We defeated fascism. We can rise again and defeat Islamofascism if we come together. If this message resonates with you, make sure you go to our website, actforamerica.org. Join us as either a chapter leader or join a chapter in your community or even just become an activist. If you don't have time to give anything more than just click a few buttons on your keyboard, sign up to become an activist. Also, get my book Rise and help me wake up our nation so people who believe the way we do can understand what action steps they can take to make a difference. The last chapter in my book Rise, chapter 15, I have 15 chapters, 14 chapters discuss topics that we are tackling in our country right now, from immigration to education to tightening our border to the free speech to the lamestream media, Soros pulling the strings behind everybody funding the leftist movement and the media to the tune of $45 million. All this information. But the last chapter is everything activism, how to write letters to the editors. I even have sample letters for you already written regarding certain topics. All you have to do is add your name and send it to the newspaper in your local community. The same thing with letters to elected officials about different bills in Congress. I have links. I have information, addresses to where you can find out about new bills coming down for a vote. This is how we can make a difference for the country. So I encourage you to get this book, Rise, and read it and buy another copy for your friend and make sure you put it in public libraries. Make a vow to yourself. You're going to get 4 books, read one, and donate 3 to every public library in your community. Go put it there and let's help come together to educate America. My philosophy is this. If everyone does a little, together we can accomplish a lot. And we can accomplish a lot together.
She makes it easy for you, folks. She really does, both in her organization and in, again, in the book and following through on things we can do. Some of them are simple. Some of them aren't so simple. But honestly, we can't just sit back and expect somebody else to try to solve all these problems, particularly not the deep state. Brigitte, you have a national conference. I have a national conference. And you had one recently. And I just want to give folks a hint here how the left has pushed back your conference. This was a while ago now, several weeks ago. And you sent out a release. The left continues to do everything they can to stop us. We have been on receiving a nonstop attacks, hit pieces published by Huffington Post, press conferences, protests hosted outside the venue of our conference, organizations, Southern Poverty Law Center, MoveOn.org, etc. Here's just some of the things they went through, folks. August 15th, Facebook censors Brigitte Gabriel's Facebook account. August 16th, Muslim advocates launch petition to shut down Act for America National Conference. August 30th, MoveOn, Muslim advocates, along with 30 other organizations, host press conference outside Hyatt Hotel in protest of Act for America. August 30th, CARE pressures former ICE Director Thomas Homan to cancel appearance at ACT Conference. August 31st, 34 leftist organizations send letter to Hyatt Hotels requesting they cancel Act for America National Conference. August 31st, Southern Poverty Law Center publishes hit piece about Act for America National Conference. September 3rd, Newsweek publishes hit piece to prevent former ICE Director Thomas Homan from attending Act for America. September 11th, MIC.com publishes hit piece against Act for America ties to the White House. We actually had a Christian conference in the upper Midwest and this is some months ago now, Brigitte, it might have been May, and this particular Christian conference, the hotels all pulled out at the last minute, and I believe there might have been a former Muslim going to give his testimony about converting to Christianity. So again, folks, the pushback is enormous. Now, let me ask you this. Did your conference move ahead? Was it successful? Did they shut you down? What happened?
No, thank God. We were able to hold our conference. The Hyatt did not back down. People showed up to our national conference. And here's the wonderful thing. Elected officials, every single one of them came and spoke. You know, we usually have between 10 to 15 members of Congress speak at our national conference. So CARE and leftist organizations know that. So the one thing that was not mentioned on that list that you cited, and thank you for citing all that list of all the attacks, that evil forces coming against us to shut down our voice of truth. The one thing is the ACLU sent a letter to members of Congress, to every member of Congress, urging them to boycott our conference and not show up and speak. The letter was signed by 59 organizations. 59 organizations came together pressuring Congress not to show up, members of Congress, and speak at our national conference. Wow. But thank God, every single member of Congress showed up and spoke at the national conference, and they did not listen to them. But you know what? This is exactly the type of resolve we need to have, because we need to realize our enemy is organized. We are at war. The left has declared war on every America-loving patriot. We need to understand on the right that whether or not we want to fight this war, the war has been declared. We are at war. While we on the right sit together and shake our heads and think, oh my gosh, I cannot believe they're talking like that. I mean, what's happening to our country? I can't believe it. Our founding fathers are turning in their grave. This is how we talk amongst each other. And we listen to talk radio and and we get educated. The left, on the other hand, they're very organized, they're very dedicated, they're very determined. They are willing to scoop down to the low, lowest of the low, and play dirty no matter what they have to do in order to silence your voice and my voice and every voice standing up for our Judeo-Christian values and freedoms and speaking up the truth to protect our country. And that's why we all need to come together, rise together in defense of our Judeo-Christian values and freedom.
And that is the name of the book, folks, Rise in Defense of Judeo-Christian Values and Freedom. The author's Brigitte Gabriel. You've heard her for the hour here. And Brigitte, I am almost completely out of time, but I want to reference Europe. We can't make the mistake Europe has made. I mean, it's a tragedy what's happened in Europe. Of course, they threw God out 60 years ago, and then Islam replaced God. But I just don't want to see us make the same mistake, and we're making it. We're making it.
Exactly. We are making the same mistake. Look, we don't even need to look at Europe. Look at Minnesota.
Yeah. Well.
In Minnesota right now, they can elect anybody they want. They've got the numbers to push everything. And look what happened to Minnesota. Minnesota has been transformed in the last 15 years.
Tell me. 15 Tell me.
Years.
Tell me.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. It, heartbreaking. Well, folks, again, you get the book at Amazon, your various bookstores that are Barnes & Noble, things like that. And visit the website, actforamerica.org, and you can find a lot more information there as well. And Brigitte, I do wish you well and continued expansion of your ministry. Indeed, I have followed it for 15 years when we started. You weren't this organized, but my goodness, the Lord has blessed you abundantly. And I pray this is going to be a blessing to the country. I really do. You've been trying to sound a wake-up call, as have others. A number of those who've endorsed your book are sounding wake-up calls all the time and doing a wonderful job. So it's our responsibility to rise up and act concerning the things that you and others are raising, all the issues that are so important for our day. And honestly, folks, I think one of the bottom lines is God needs to be our Homeland Security Director. We can't shut him out. Can't shut him out of the country and expect God to bless and secure and protect our country. Brigitte, thank you so much. God bless you for all you're doing.
Thank you so much, Jen. I appreciate it.
You know, folks, we need to make God our Homeland Security Director because the Bible says the last days will be perilous times. Let's say with the psalmist, I trust in you, O Lord, our times are in your hands. And with Isaiah the prophet, only God is the stability of our times. I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Across America and across the World Wide Web, we continue to report current events from a biblical perspective. Every weekend, this broadcast comes to you at no cost, but it costs us thousands of dollars. As we produce and distribute this weekly media outreach, would you consider standing with us? With an ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to keep informed. They need to be aware of current events as viewed through the lens of Scripture. Week after week, Jan Markell brings you a compelling hour, pointing out the dangers in today's culture and bringing hope through faith in Jesus Christ. We're asking you to join us in this listener-supported ministry as our financial partner. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Contributions are also welcome at olivetreeviews.org or by phone when you dial 763-559-4444. Don't forget, global updates with a biblical worldview are yours around the clock at olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon. We appreciate your continued prayer support for Jan and her media team. Jan Markell returns next week with another information and inspiration-packed hour designed to help you understand the times.